Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, she's about the prophecy zone. When is he coming back? When is the end of days?
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Hallelujah. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome. This is Susan Puzio, and we are going to have a great program for you tonight. We have Kevin Oliver, who is going to be our special guest. And you will absolutely love Kevin. He has a wonderful YouTube ministry. I think he's had close to a million hits on his YouTube site. He makes very compelling videos. They're a great blessing to the body of Christ. So much good information that he's made available. So he is going to be our guest for a full hour tonight. We are broadcasting on the Prophecy Zone Network. I'm Susan Puzio, and I do host a show also on Blog Talk Radio on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on the Prophecy Zone Network, which is operated by Phil Armstrong of the Prophecy Zone. He also has a wonderful program, Prophecy Zone, on Blog Talk Radio. So we are starting up this network, and we hope to expand it and make it an end time network, something that will be a great blessing and a lighthouse to the body of Christ, because we see so many things happening that we never thought we would see in our lifetimes. So much error in the church, so many things that are happening right before our eyes, so much deception. So we want to be a lighthouse for the truth. We want to be able to help people stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, because we base everything that we do and say, we try to base it on the word of God, because ultimately that's the only thing that's going to stand. We know that God says he exalts his word above his name, and God's word is true. Every last bit of it is the truth, and no matter what any man says, the only thing that really matters is what God says. So in Hebrews, if we look at Hebrews chapter 10, we see that in verse 16, God says, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. We have that great, precious promise from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that old things can pass away, and behold, all things can become new. And we want to give you that opportunity tonight, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come to know him and have peace and joy and everlasting life in heaven. So the chat room is open. If you'd like to make some comments, I'm going to bring my guest on the air because I'm so excited to talk with him. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm so pleased to be on with you
tonight. Oh, I am too. I'm so happy to be able to be talking to you, because I've been a big fan of your YouTube ministry for a long time, and I was happy to be able to hook up with you on Facebook. It's a wonderful way to network with other believers that are like-minded.
Absolutely.
So I just for the listeners that aren't familiar with your ministry, give us a little bit of your background and how you came to produce these videos on YouTube.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here to fellowship with you and again to talk with other believers perhaps around the world. And I really enjoy, I was thinking today about the online media and Facebook and YouTube and all of that, and how it's been a great blessing, and how the church really hasn't really taken advantage of this medium and used it really to the fullest in the way that it should be used. But we'll probably talk about more about that later. But
yeah,
that's
wonderful. The fellowship's wonderful.
But you asked me to talk about my ministry, and I'd like to first say that for a long time, I never looked at what I do on YouTube or did on YouTube as a ministry. I've been a Christian since 1992. I was a young soldier in the Army.
Oh.
Living in Germany at the time.
Yeah.
And I won't go through the whole story about how I came to know Christ, but I did indeed come to know Christ for myself in a small church that met on an Army base in Germany. And I was rooted and grounded there. I was trained and taught well by great pastors, and I like to, when I'm looking back, I sort of think of myself as being insulated from what was happening in the church at that time. In the early 90s, that's when we saw the Word of Faith and, other kinds of New Age movements and teachings beginning to take off in the church. But I was completely unaware of this at the time because I was serving in the Army at the time in Germany again, and I didn't know about all of this stuff. And it's very interesting when you get outside of the United States or you've had an opportunity to live abroad and how you just are shielded from a lot of things because the reaches of the media.
Right.
And sometimes
at
some
that
of the,
time. Yeah.
Right, and some of the culture, American culture, you're away from that and you're not affected by it. But
yeah.
But anyway, I came back to the States in the mid 90s, and then I found a church here in Atlanta, which is where I was born and raised and where I'm from. And I had the opportunity to be with a great pastor who mentored me and trained me. I eventually became ordained as a minister in about 2001. I had an interesting experience with the church that at that time, and which I'll talk about later. But I eventually left my former church about 5 years ago, and after being gone about 3 years, I discovered this thing called YouTube.
Yeah.
In about 2007, and I was like, well, what's YouTube all about? And so getting to why I began doing videos, I really kind of started doing videos really just to kind of open up a conversation amongst ministers.
Yeah.
About various controversial or misunderstood or just problematic subjects within the church. I was speaking as a young minister, as a person who had some responsibility in teaching, has very limited responsibility. I was also speaking as a person who had been in radio. I was on a radio program with my pastor for almost 3 years.
We were
answering Bible questions. We were ministering to people live, and people calling said they were thinking about committing suicide.
Just
real live, all kinds of situations we were dealing with. We were dealing with the issues of the day.
Yes.
And so that's the background that I came from. We were dealing with false teachers. I was in the city of Atlanta. My pastor was known for dealing with false teachers and word of faith teaching head on.
And was that PA body?
That's correct.
Wow.
So I was doing what I do on YouTube. I was doing in real life. In the real world for years before I ever got on YouTube. And that's
one of the
criticisms I've continuously gotten on YouTube is that I, you know, sit on my computer and quote unquote, you know, attack ministers and so forth, which is totally not what I do.
No.
There are a lot of things that I have done that I do that I don't talk about. And I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to be talking about my credentials and what I have done. To me, that is not important. You'll never hear me bragging or talking about, you know, what degrees I have and how many quote-unquote people I've gotten saved, how many quote-unquote lives I've touched, because that's just not my approach and understanding of ministry. That's not my understanding of how this thing works.
Right.
I completely trust in the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ. Christ does everything, does it all.
Amen.
I will take no credit. So that's kind of how my approach. So I kind of started, as I mentioned, just opening up conversation. It is really an extension sort of what I was doing on radio with my former pastor, who I had become estranged from due to some things he began to teach. So I then began getting a little more serious. I was one of the first people who started publicly and I hate to use the word exposing, because my position is if a person goes on public TV, public radio, they go on their website and they say things, they've exposed themselves.
Right.
If I simply compare what they teach to what Scripture teaches, then it is the Word of God that condemns them. It's not me.
Right.
So
right.
I've been very careful even from the beginning. Back in August 2007 is when I started on YouTube. I was very careful to try to avoid making things personal. You know, we talk about the Creflo Dollars of the world and the TD Jakes and so forth. You'll never really heard me talk about the Mercedes, the Rolls Royces they drive, the big houses, in the suits and whatnot. I've always been focused on what people teach and whether or not it is consistent with Scripture. We've talked about their behavior and whether or not it is consistent with what Scripture teaches a man or woman of God, what it teaches us to how they're supposed to behave. So
now that impressed me on one of the videos that you did about Creflo Dollar, where you had his sanctuary in the background. And you said it's not personal. I love that.
It's strictly business.
Yeah, I love that.
And I do have a sense of humor. I have a silly side to me. And I try to keep it in check. You know, sometimes some things are so silly and so ridiculous that, you know, you just have to you have to laugh, or you just have to point out how silly it is. But still, at the same time, you know, come back to
what the Word
of God says. Absolutely.
But did he ever, did you ever try to, you tried to contact Creflo Dollar But would he ever talk to you?
Every person that I have ever criticized what they teach on Scripture, I have either made an attempt to contact them personally, or I have listened to their sermons, or I've done extensive research in them, meaning I've read the text of their sermons or their teachings in their entirety, or I've listened to their sermons in their entirety. I may take a couple of weeks at least. And then there are some persons that I've been familiar with their teaching for decades, like Creflo Dollar is one example. But to answer your question about Creflo Dollar, Dr. Creflo Dollar, I have made an attempt to contact him. I did not get a response. However, on two of the videos that I did, I received a letter from an attorney representing his ministry regarding my videos. So yes, I've gotten a number of. That's happened to me.
They know you're there.
Three times. It's happened to me two or three times, and you know, going back to YouTube again. YouTube has only been out since 2007, for 3 years.
Oh.
And I think it came out in 2006. I might be wrong about that, but it's only been out a few years.
Yeah.
And I was thinking today as I was out and about how interesting YouTube is in terms of holding people accountable, because Dr. Creflo Dollar, for example, because I mentioned his name, it doesn't mean I'm picking on him, because there are hundreds of Creflo Dollars out there, hundreds of Kenneth Copelands, because they all teach the same thing. I'm just using him as an example.
Right, they're kind of clones.
Right, they are clones, but you know, these people have been able to, and it's not just people in the Word of Faith. I might also mention that, but just many ministers in general have been able to have had the luxury and have had the comfort of being able to say what they want to say, teach what they want to teach.
Yeah, buy airtime. Buy airtime.
Right. Buy up all the airtime and say what they want to say and not have it come back on them.
Right.
And see, within the past few years now, we have this beautiful tool or thing or whatever you want to call it called
YouTube. Yeah, it's
wonderful.
I love it.
Where someone can say something and it can be captured. I mean, even me. See, this is another reason why I'm very careful about what I say. You can say something and someone can capture that and archive it and play it back.
Yeah.
And an example, I'm going to tell you an example of this. My most popular video on YouTube it happens to be a video about Dr. Creflo Dollar, and it's called Creflo Dollar Says That Christians Have 2 Years Left to Get Rich. And that video has over 80,000 views. And every time I check it, it seems like it's jumping up. And I don't know why it's being so widely viewed. It could be because there are people who are linking the video to their own blogs. I think that may be part of the reason. But what's interesting about this video is that I talk about how Creflo Dollar said 2 years ago, he effectively said that Christ is coming back in 2012, or that something significant is going to happen in 2012, and in the time leading up to then in 2012, that there's going to be a great wealth transfer, and that all the wealth of the wicked is going to be laid up for the just, and it's going to be transferred over to the Christians.
Oh.
So he said that 2 years ago. Now, this is 2010, you know, and it's going to be 2011 pretty soon. So basically, he's got a little less than a year for what he said to be proven true or not.
Yeah.
So now, if YouTube wasn't here, you know, these crippled Allah could say that 2012 could come and he could come up with something else.
Oh yeah, and then people would forget about it.
Right.
Like the year of Jubilee, remember the...
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. You know, because, and for those of you, the year of Jubilee, what was that, 2000, Susan?
I think so. The year of Jubilee.
In 2000, the year of Jubilee, that was supposed to be the year when all the Christians...
All the debts were going to be forgiven.
All the debts were going to be forgiven. The credit reports were going to be wiped clean.
Wow.
There was going to be all of this wealth that the that everybody would get a house.
Yeah.
I remember this. And the reason I remember this is because I was on the radio with my pastor at the time, and we were talking about this false teaching that was going around.
Yeah.
And now if you look anywhere on YouTube, you'll see nothing about the year of Jubilee. If you do like a search on Google,
You don't hear about it anymore. You don't hear about it.
You might find two or three things on the year of Jubilee.
You know, I find it so interesting, though, because I didn't know that this, you know, T.A. Body, your pastor, that you were actually had a ministry where you were exposing these things, and then what happened with your situation there at church, how it all turned.
Right.
And talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a really interesting story.
Sure. Well, my former pastor's name is Dr. T.A. Body. He's the pastor of the One Accord Church in Decatur, Georgia. That's in suburban Atlanta. And I've known him in general to be a very brilliant man, a very brilliant theologian. As far as I knew, while I was there, I knew him to be an honorable man. I just knew him to be not a perfect pastor. He had faults in terms of, you know, and it had mostly to do with, I think once you've been a pastor for a long time and when you're challenged with the need to change,
yeah,
the way you do ministry, I think he was maybe a little hesitant about that, a little resistant about that. And so that's where I would say the issue of most of the, when I say faults, I think most of my issues with his leadership style and his approach to things had to do with that. But, you know, he's the pastor, and I still respected him, and I worked very closely with him. Again, he ordained me. And he is the one who trained me specifically in the area of ministry known as apologetics.
Yeah.
Meaning giving a defense for the faith.
Right.
And it's something that it's an area of ministry that the church really does not focus on or really embrace.
Right, not yet.
It has been misunderstood.
Yes.
But there's a need for people in ministry to be prepared to defend the integrity of Scripture.
Yes.
To present and to combat. There's a scripture in, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. It talks about 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction.
Yeah.
I like the King James Version better, which says with all long suffering.
Long suffering, yeah.
But,
long suffering.
Right. Right. So the church loves good preaching. We like, you know, nice and good Sunday school and maybe a good Wednesday night Bible study. We like that. And we might like to listen to a little preaching on the radio every now and then. But in terms of engaging false teachers, engaging false doctrine, exposing false doctrine, and not just exposing the false doctrine, but teaching sound doctrine, upholding the main and basic truths of Scripture, of the faith. There's a need for that, and the church has sort of come to view people who do that kind of ministry as people who want to create division.
Yeah, but they've been so well brainwashed.
Right.
Brainwashing has been very effective. The touch not iron anointed.
Absolutely. And you know, and that came, and that kind of attitude has kind of always been around. You know, anytime someone's out front, challenging and kind of going against the grain, going against the group, you know,
going against the group. Yeah.
that person's seen as being, you know, different or crazy or of the devil or whatnot.
Or wounded.
Exactly, or in pain or whatnot. But going back to my former pastor, this is how he trained. This is how he trained me.
Yeah.
And not only me, but a few others. He made sure that we knew Scripture, we knew church history.
Yeah.
We knew something about what other faiths taught. When I say faiths, I'm talking about Islam and Buddhism. We understood.
Yeah.
Other philosophies, like my pastor talked about Kierkegaard and existentialism. Because of the different worldviews that had been embraced by mankind and promoted over time and promoted in the culture. And so not saying that you have to be an expert in all these areas, but you know, my philosophy is that the more you can, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. You're the vessel.
Right.
You're healed.
Right.
But you gotta give something to the Holy Spirit to yield to. In other words, you have to be willing to learn and understand where people are coming from and see where they are. And when we look in Scripture, we see examples. I love the example in Scripture in the book of Acts when we see the Apostle Paul. He's in Athens, and he's in the square there, and he's reasoning from the Scriptures.
Yeah.
He's reasoning in the synagogues, and he's reasoning. You got people there of all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of, but he was able to present the gospel as well as address, you know, where people were coming from. And
yeah.
I think he was able to do that because of, because of his earlier training as a, I can't remember what school he was taught. He was in the school of Gamaliel, but he was highly trained, earlier in his life.
Yeah.
But when the Lord saved him, you know, he didn't empty his brain. He still used that knowledge to be able to persuade others and open their eyes to the reality of Christ.
Yeah.
So that's kind of this is how my pastor trained me, and it was also the leading of the Holy Spirit in my own life, how my heart for people, wanting to see people saved and know Christ, wanting to help people to understand the Word of God better.
Yeah.
Seeing people in certain situations or being involved in certain movements and certain cults and seeking to understand, why they were involved in those things and wanting to be that vessel again that God could use to perhaps be a bridge to them, a bridge of understanding to them. So, and then unfortunately, my pastor began to change. And without getting into a whole long story, the same kinds of teachings and ideas we criticize on the radio daily, he began to basically do and teach some of those same things. There was clearly a shift.
Yeah.
And I saw that I could, I was unable to, I tried to meet with him and talk about these things, and he wasn't willing to do that. But it came. There came a point where I realized I couldn't support the ministry, and I left. And I was married at the time, and my then wife chose to stay, and she actually thought I was crazy for leaving this church. And after I left, I endured all kinds of abuse. I went through a lot. Really suffered a lot. I had. It was eventually led to I won't say the situation with the church led to this, but there were already strains in my marriage. But by the time we decided that we were going to end the marriage, the church was all involved in what was going on, and I found out later that he was sort of involved in orchestrating some things, and it was just became.
Well, didn't
really
they? Didn't they file a lawsuit against you?
I've had quite a few things done, and one of the things that was done is that they attempted to have me arrested a number of times. They tried to have a restraining order taken out on me, and went to the district attorney's office and attempted to, all kinds of things, really ugly things happened.
That's bad. But the thing is, it's because of what you knew, because you knew things.
Right.
And so they were trying to cover up for what they were doing by doing these things to you.
And at the time, I didn't understand that at the time. I was somewhat naive about
all were
about church in general. And the things that I found out that was happening to me later, you know, I would never have believed that those things were happening. I would never have believed that my former pastor was responsible for basically hastening the destruction of my marriage. I'm not saying that he was responsible because, as I said, there were already issues in our marriage, but clearly he did some things that sped the process up.
Of course.
I never would have known that he would have there are a lot of things that happened that I would just never would have guessed that a pastor would have done. So many very ugly and disturbing things. What was even more disturbing is that I found out that, you know, I wasn't the only one, that this had happened to many people, because after I left the church, and it's very interesting because going back to what I started out doing on YouTube, in addition to kind of just seeking to open up discussion about amongst ministers, I also wanted to bring some attention to the issue of abusive ministers.
Yes, that's very important. Yeah.
And I did not really get into that in earnest until 2008. So I started in YouTube on like August 2007. And I would say in June 2008, about a year later, and I had been gone from my church then for 3 years.
Oh.
I was still finding out things about what was going on at my former church. And I was finding these things out because people would leave the church. And once they would leave, the first thing they would do is call me. And they would say, Kevin, you know, we're sorry about, you know, what happened back then, but we didn't know. And, you know, basically the same thing has happened to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a brother that he's a friend of mine now. He was a member of the church after I was gone.
Yeah.
Same situation that happened to me between my wife at the time, the same thing happened to him. They split him and his wife up. I met this brother somehow. I met him on the Internet somehow. He found me.
Yeah.
He was homeless at the time.
Oh.
And he stayed with me. I let him stay with me for a few months.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a place to live. And this brother was in such great pain.
Very much.
And Susan, I mean, I can't tell you how much pain. I mean, it was heartbreaking, the things that this young man went through. And I knew where he was coming from. I mean, he thought he was going crazy.
But yeah.
I knew where he was coming from. And
yeah,
I knew,
exactly. They make you think like it's you. Because they're trying to cover up their sin, and so then they try to shun you, and then they go and they try to undermine you.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's wicked. It's wicked.
And the most significant thing about that was he told me, he said, you know, he said, is your wife is such and such, I won't say her name. He says, you know, so you're the one that they were talking about. In other words, months, years after I was gone, the pastor would still talk negatively about me.
Yeah, yeah.
From the pulpit. He's still there. And so this brother didn't even know who I was, but he knew about me. Because he's sitting in church, and they're wondering who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I tell this funny story. It's funny. Well, actually, it's not a story. It's true. There's actually a spirit named after me in that church. It's called the Kevin Oliver Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pastor actually identified this
Kevin Oliver Spirit, the Martin Luther Spirit.
They rebuked and prayed against this spirit. In the church.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This actually happened, and I think it's just so funny, but...
Now, you have a whole series
yes.
on that whole situation if people want to watch those videos. So that where would they go to see the whole series that you expose the whole situation there in, at the church?
Well, you can either do a Google search or you can search on YouTube. Search for Profile of an Abusive Church.
Yeah.
And what made me do this series is I told you about the young man who stayed with me for a little while. And it was just a series of things that kept happening over the years while I was gone. And, well, after I was gone, rather. And then in 2008, in June 2008, I found out, something very disturbing, which I won't say, I don't want to say over on your program, even though I've already talked about it on YouTube, but I just don't want to.
Right. Well, they can go there, but I think I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Something, I found out something very disturbing.
Very disturbing.
I had a young woman who I knew as a teenager when I was at the church. She called me, and her husband called me. Because they were aware that I was on YouTube speaking out. And I guess when people see you, that's why it's important for people to speak out about certain things, not from a position of, you know, exposing or wanting to do harm or anger.
Well, what you were talking about was definitely something people should know about.
Exactly. I mean, you know, see, but see,
yes.
And when people see when people see other people being bold and forthright and being firm,
it helps them.
It gives them confidence.
Yes, right? Yes.
It gives them confidence. And this is what was happening. There were people who were watching me from that church for almost 3 years doing my thing, not talking about what I experienced at my former church, but they were watching me, and they were sitting in the church at the same time listening to my pastor say all these things about me, and they're wondering, this is not the same guy. Why are they saying it? People were getting confused.
Yeah.
And also, there were people that were going through things that I had gone through, and they were afraid. They didn't know who they could talk to, and they knew I was out here, so they would call me. They would leave the church, and they would call me, and they would tell me these things. And when I got this call in June of 2008, something within me said, all right, Kevin, it's time for you to talk about this. And, you know, as I look back, one reason that I needed to do it is because it was critical to my healing process. I had been sort of in denial about the pain and the disappointment after leaving my ministry, that ministry.
Yeah.
I became very disappointed in how my former pastor treated me. And I left my church on pretty much good terms. I didn't leave under a cloud of suspicion. I wasn't thrown out of the church. As I said before, I couldn't support the direction of the ministry and what was being taught there.
Right.
And
but why do you think he sold out? Why do you think he sold out like that? What do you think happened that turned it into an abusive church? How did it turn?
Well, this is a very interesting question, Susan, because part of it was some things turning, but the other part of it was me not wanting to see certain things. So I can't say 100% that I didn't see certain things going on while I was there.
Yeah.
So, in short, I'm saying I'm beginning to understand now that my pastor kind of has always been the way he has been. There's certain things that have been at work in that church and in that ministry for decades that I wasn't aware of. Or I just didn't want to see.
You just didn't want to see it.
Things.
Yeah.
And because an abusive church is one of the things that work in an abusive church is manipulation. There's a strong
narrative
of manipulation at work. And you see pieces of things, but you don't see the whole. Things are, when certain things happen, the minister or the pastor, someone can get in the pulpit and they can say things and spin them to make things appear differently.
Yeah, you don't really see it till you leave it, the whole thing.
Right.
After you get out of it, then you say, wow, what was I thinking?
Exactly. And another thing also is that that in an abusive church, the leadership has helpers. They have people who do their bidding.
Yes.
So
they want to be promoted, and they want
right. So
the recognition.
You have people who are willing to do things on their behalf. And that way they can appear blameless.
Yeah.
So it's very complicated. I know it kind of sounds crazy, but I'm reading a book now, by the way. Have you ever heard of an Ivy Hilliard?
Yeah.
Ivy Hilliard has a daughter who they have disowned and disinherited now. She has a book.
Really?
A book called Going to Church to Catch
Hell. Is it Bridget? What's the daughter's
name?
Her
name is Kermit Shea. Hilliard Evans. Now,
wow.
If you go on Ivy Hilliard's website, they will make reference to their three daughters.
Uh huh.
They don't count this fourth one anymore.
She couldn't take it anymore, right?
That's right. And she
good for her.
She talks in this book about some of the things that I'm talking about here, about the manipulation,
yeah.
And how things can be made to look a certain way, and it's I don't know how these people learn these things, or perhaps they're under demonic possession.
Oh yeah, well they do. They turn, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. You can see what I see happening with a lot of the ministries where they're accepting this false prophet Manasseh Jordan, the son of Bernard Jordan. So that they drank the Kool-Aid. You know, last night I was just sitting here and I was in tears and I said they really drank the Kool-Aid. It's over. They're not coming back.
Right.
Like when they start accepting all these kind of things, and they're just not going to turn. They're
mm-hmm.
just not going to turn. So.
But you know your earlier question about what do I think made my pastor sell out? I think he has had certain things about his character and certain that have kind of always been there, certain weaknesses. That he's always had that have always been there, that were there long before I got to that church that led to that. And my former pastor has a battle, and he has an issue, in my opinion, with pride and position and recognition.
Well, that's the one thing that we all have to face.
Right,
so,
right,
so doesn't God always put that test before you? I see
absolutely.
It happening with anybody that has any kind of a public voice, is we all have that test that we go through. So
right.
What do you say? You say to the Lord, okay, well, I'm not going to go that way. It's just not
mm-hmm.
worth it. It's just not, it's that same old temptation of, I'll give you this. I can give you all these things. I can give you fame. I can give you recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you money. But which God do you want to serve?
That's right.
And so you see the trap. It's such a trap for these men.
Right. And, you know, I was so naive, Susan. I worked very closely with my pastor for years. I was on the radio with him.
Yeah, and you loved him.
I had a title. I respected him greatly.
Yeah.
But I had no regard for any of that. The only thing I was focused on was living for Christ, trying to be a good husband, a good father, trying to be a proper example, and trying to support the work of the ministry. I've said this before, when I've talked about this situation, is that, you know, my pastor, he acknowledged that there were some problems in the ministry. He acknowledged that some things were broken, and he asked me and certain other people in the church to kind of help him to move the ministry in the direction that he said that the Lord wanted the ministry to go in.
So then what happened?
Well, that was the question that I was left with after a couple of years, after seeing certain things take place. And, I was left with that question. But the point I wanted to make was that my focus was on the work.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that other people were like we used to say when I was, or they still say it now, they were quote unquote hating on me. And there were people that didn't like me because I was close to the pastor.
Right.
They wanted the position.
Oh yeah, there's always a power struggle. Yeah.
I had no
politics.
Clue.
Politics.
I had no clue, Susan, about any of this stuff. I was green.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the learning. It's the learning.
I didn't grow up in church.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about church culture.
Yeah.
And I explained earlier, I was in the Army. I became a Christian when I was serving in the Army.
Yeah, well, it makes you understand politics. Then you can see what politics is all about when you see what goes on in the church.
I'm over in Germany, and as I'm being trained up as a Christian, I'm shielded from what's happening in the rest of Christianity at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm getting just straight Bible training.
Right.
I'm around serious Christians.
Yeah, everything is beautiful, and everybody's beautiful.
I came back to the States with that kind of attitude about church.
Yeah, I know.
And then, you know, some years down the road, now I'm seeing this happen, seeing things happen, but I'm still not really.
We're going to just love them and forgive them and
right.
just overlook
I
it.
I didn't know that there were other ministers, that didn't like me, that wanted the title that I had and wanted to be on the radio with the pastor and
all of this stuff.
And I didn't know all of this stuff was going on. And then for me to disagree with the pastor, and I didn't disagree with him in any public way at all. But what happened was my then wife at the time was going and telling the pastor and his wife things we're discussing. So now
that's what happens. They have to get information so they can
then,
try to get something on you.
So the information goes from her to them and then it goes from them to their minions. So I was basically done in a while before I decided to leave the ministry.
Now,
tell the
people again about the title of that book from Ivy Hilliard's daughter, because, wow, that's a great book to read. I have to read that myself.
This book is a short book. It's called Going to Church to Catch Hell. And her name is Kermeshea, spelled Kermeshea, Hilliard Evans, and I might put a link on your Facebook.
Yeah, Yeah, because that would be great for people to read. Because she's been there. I mean, she's been there.
Exactly. And what's so interesting about this book, again, is, you know, when you start reading, you realize that you could take what she's describing and you can apply that to hundreds of those churches out there.
Yeah.
Because they all operate the same way.
They all got
established pretty much the same way, and they all
right.
pretty much operate the same way.
The thing, though, that is wonderful about her is you see so many of the children of these preachers, like John Hagee's
right.
son and Marilyn Hickey's son and the Copelands right. and Fred Price's son, and they all take after the parents. They don't stand up for Christ and the truth of the gospel. They just take over the ministries and they get the money and the position and all that. But this girl actually... Pardon?
No, go ahead.
This girl actually left all that behind because she could have had the big ministry and she could have had the TV ministry like the rest of the family. But she said, no, I'm going to take a stand for Christ. So this is terrific, really.
Right. And I've actually been working on a video dealing with this issue of because you mentioned Manasseh Jordan.
Yeah,
he's a
this is shocking. This is really shocking.
Fred Price's son.
Yeah, he was out on yesterday, and he was wearing the uniform.
Kenneth Copeland's grandson is out front now. So it's like the new generation of false teachers is, you know, it's like a family business. It's a business. And but you know, these problems and these issues that we've talked about, you know, they don't just affect big churches. And I want, if nothing else, I want people to understand that I'm not against church. You know, people have, I've been misunderstood as being against church, as being against pastors, being against popular pastors, being against pastors having stuff. You know, that's not really my issue. My focus is on the teaching of sound doctrine.
Right.
And living a Holy Spirit filled life, or and living an example, a life that's an example of Christ.
Yes.
And because, you know, in the end, you know, we can build these great buildings, we can have these, you know, all of these great quote unquote ministries, we can do all these things, but, you know, like the older folks used to say, only, you know, what we do for Christ will last.
That's right.
And, you know, I've engaged all kinds of people on YouTube. I've engaged people with PhDs.
Yeah.
I've engaged atheists, Mormons, black nationalists.
Yeah.
White supremacists.
Yeah, I love your name. I mean, when I saw that, I said, I love that.
And, you know, the name is this. The name, I chose the name to be sort of provoking.
You did, but I thought it was terrific. Not your typical Negro. I said, I love this.
The name is sort of the name is. I intended to name myself Not Your Typical Christian or something like that. But then I decided on that name for a couple of reasons. But one thing that the name sort of communicates is that I'm not a typical anything.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be stereotyped.
Right.
You know, just because I'm black,
right?
You know, you can't stereotype me into thinking or acting or saying a certain thing. Just because I'm a Christian, you can't stereotype me into thinking or you can't. I don't want to be stereotyped into anything. I want people to deal with what I'm saying,
right?
Rather than who I am.
That's right.
So I think the name that I have on YouTube sort of helps me to do that.
Yeah, it does. We just have about a minute left here. And
sure.
I just want people to, again, hear about your website. And, Kevin, this has been just so enjoyable. I mean, I've got a whole list of topics I wanted to talk to you about. So I really want to do more programs with you because you just have so many interesting things to talk about, and I know your heart, and I'm so glad that we had this time together and that the people were blessed. I know they were blessed, so share with them your YouTube ministry and
sure. Well,
how they can find you.
If you just go on YouTube and search on NYTN, a lot of people call me NYTN. If you just search NYTN on YouTube or Not Your Typical Negro, all one word, you'll find me. I intend to maybe start a blog at some point, and I'm actually going to be taking my YouTube channel in a slightly different direction. I'm going to do a lot more teaching.
Good.
And, so I'm going to get a little more focused.
Yeah.
So people should expect some changes.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more from you too. Yeah. Yeah, so
I had to take some time off to get some preparation. I've actually been in some Bible training for the past couple of years, and I just completed that.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus a little more because the Lord has been pretty specific.
Time is short.
Absolutely.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
God bless. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. And I'm going to be playing this program Saturday on my program on Prophetic News. We're on 1 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to play it again. And please look for Kevin's YouTube channel. You'll be so blessed. And I know there's so many of you out there that you're in an abusive church. You've been in an abusive situation, and you need somebody to talk to. You want to know yourself that you're not crazy. You know, it's not you, that there really is something wrong. So check out Kevin's YouTube channel and tune in again, okay? Be blessed. Bye for now. Yes, everybody, tune in on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Prophecy Zone Network. Also, I will be on with Bud Press that night, and we will be talking about the false prophets Bernard and Manasseh Jordan. So don't forget to tune in Monday night at Prophecy Zone Network on Blog Talk Radio, and also tune in to my Prophetic News broadcast. We will be going back to 1 p.m. again on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday, Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all, and thank you for listening. We're going to have Kevin back on real soon. God bless.